The Columbia Workshop presents Elsa Lanchester in Fanny Kemble, an original radio play by Joseph Liss and Louis Lantz. Although Fanny Kemble is known to most of us as the great English actress at Covent Garden Theatre in London, she was also distinguished as a playwright, poet, and novelist. Her life spanned almost the whole of the 19th century, and she was one of the most loved and respected women of the Victorian era. In her old age, her most intimate acquaintance was the American novelist Henry James, then a young man living in Switzerland. Tonight's play, a single incident in the long and eventful life of Fanny Kemble, begins with a letter which Fanny is writing to Henry James.
Mr. Henry James, my dear friend, so you propose to write a piece on acting, with myself as the perfect specimen of the great actress. I suppose there is no use in asking you to abandon this absurd project, but I can at least clear my own conscience by putting down on paper the true story of how I, many, many years ago, entered this profession. Then perhaps, if you have the courage to print it, some young girl might be saved from a fate worse than death. In the year 1809, heaven help me, I was born into the Kemble family. They were reputed to be great actors. And true, my Aunt Sarah Sittons was a fine tragedian. My father, the illustrious Charles, had his moments. But the Kemble family survived largely because my mother, Marie Theresa, was a good cook. And as for my uncle, the glorious John Kemble, of whom you cherish such romantic illusions, he was a noble soul, a pompous ass, and a terrible businessman. It was when he borrowed huge sums of money to build a new Covent Garden Theatre that he unwittingly became the author of My Fate. To pay for the theatre, Uncle John raised the admission prices so high that London broke out into riots. The audience hooted and hissed. They stood on their feet, hats on, with their backs to the stage, and they marched round our house with placards. Yes, the riots went on for 70 nights, and at the height of this turmoil, my dear Henry James, I was born.
A girl, Charles.
Don't let me see her. I can't make her out. Is she fair or dark?
At this age, Charles, falls.
Oh, she'll be dark. I can see it. Look.
Oh, Charles, you can't see a thing.
I can see she'll become a great new Kemble.
Don't be so dramatic, dear.
Second Sarah Sittons.
Why, Charles, you're disturbing your new daughter.
Not a new daughter, a new Desdemona, a new Ophelia, a new Lady Macbeth, a new Juliet.
There, darling.
When my Uncle John died, he made the noblest gesture of his career. He gave up Covent Garden Theatre, and with it an accumulation of debts approximating £60,000, the perfect white elephant. Each year, of course, the debts mounted, and every year my father would go off on a tour in the vain hope of recouping the family fortune. Finally, in my, my 19th year, Covent Garden Theatre fell into the hands of the bailiff.
You should have written me sooner, Mary. You should have sent me word immediately. It's shocking.
Take your coat off, Charles.
Covent Garden to be sold. That fine theatre covered with placards and bills of sale. Closed. Hundreds of poor people without employment.
What could I do, Charles, with you in Ireland?
No matter. I'd have stopped the tour and come home immediately to save Covent Garden.
But it's not lost yet, Charles.
Oh, it's as good as lost.
Take off your hat, dear.
Marie, we can't let them take our theatre. Who knows what may become of it?
Is that you, Father?
Yes, it is I.
I'm so glad you're home, Father.
Yes, home, Fanny, in the darkest hour of our life.
Oh, cheer up, Father. How's the tour? It must have been very successful.
It was magnificent, child, magnificent.
Mother says you lost hardly any money. What a success.
The notices were wonderful. Why, in Ireland, you do know what they said about my Lear.
Yes, Charles, we'll talk about that later. Fanny, leave us, dear. Your father and I have a serious problem.
I know. We're broke again, and Covent Garden will be lost. Come on,
I'll go.
Of course, I did have a plan to save your theater. But if you don't want to hear it, good night.
Fanny.
Yes, Father?
Come here. What is your plan?
Well...
Fanny, we are waiting.
Well, I've written a play.
My Lord, a scribbler in the family. I never thought we'd come to that.
You've written a play? Why, we've never been able to drag you near a theater.
Nevertheless, I've written a play. It's a historical tragedy in blank verse about Francis the First. It has a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful part for you, Father.
Where is this play?
Oh, it's not finished yet.
So you've written the play to save Covent Garden Theatre, but it's not finished. Please do as your mother says. Go to bed.
Only one more act to write, Father. Will you hear it when it's done?
Yes, I'll hear it when it's done.
Run along, Fanny.
I will not be sent to bed like a child. I'm old enough to help. I've been living this play, breathing it, working in my room night after night, hoping it might be a great success and save the theater.
Fanny.
Oh, forgive us, my child. The play will take weeks to finish, probably. When it is done, I shall read it. But at the moment, please, will you go to bed?
Then you will read it.
Darling, I will read it. I will act it. I will even eat it if you want me to.
Fanny, go to bed.
What is that you said?
I finished the play.
Finished? Why, that's impossible.
It was only last night you said you had a complete act to write.
Well, I stayed up all night finishing it. Would you like to hear it? Could I read it to you now?
Oh, no, wait. You must have an audience. Adelaide, Henry, Aunt Del, yeah. Penny's written the play. You're not going to hear it.
You say she has.
Quiet now, Mother. Quiet. You sit by my side. Adelaide, stop your giggling. Take your place by your brother. Aunt Del, you've always been Fanny's confidant. You sit nearest her. Ready, my dear?
Yes.
My lords, my ladies, your grace, your excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we have the pleasure to present for the first time to any audience the great tragedy of what is it, my dear?
Francis the First.
Francis the First, written by Frances Anne Kemble, known to those who love her as Fanny. Lights, places, curtain. The play, mind you, is in blank verse.
Thank you, Mr. Charles Kemble. Ladies and gentlemen, with your permission...
Oh, get on with it, Fanny Charles.
Act One, Scene One. In the garden of the palace, enter Vendôme and Chabanne, meeting the Duke of Alençon. Vendôme, good morrow to my Lord of Alençon. Alençon, good morrow, noble sir. My Lord Chabanne, you are right welcome back to me. Paramour, in life thou didst despoil me of her, in death she's mine. I'll give her that, an honorable grave. There among our tombs ancestral shall she rest, without an epitaph, except my tears. The end. That's the end.
Well, Fanny, you have written a play.
Do you like it?
Oh, it's much merit, Fanny, but there's plenty of plot. Mm.
In fact, enough for two plays.
Oh, I like it, Fanny.
My dear, I like it very much. I think it's beautiful.
The end's a bit gloomy.
Nonsense, Marie. Audiences always side with a maiden betrayed.
Yes, but such a cast, it would cost thousands to produce.
Yes, yes. Perhaps we should seek a publisher first.
Well, good night. You were all very kind to listen.
Good night, Fanny, old girl. I must be off to bed, too. Toodaloo, everyone.
Good night, Henry.
Good night, Mother, Father.
Good night, Adelaide, dear. Come up soon, Fanny, dear. I'll bring you a glass of hot milk.
Oh, Fanny, you mustn't feel too badly about the play, dear. You read quite nicely, don't you think so, Charles?
Oh, be quiet, Mother. Into the fire. That's where she lies.
Charles, what are you doing?
Heaven, she's thrown the play into the fire. Get it out, Charles.
You almost burned your play.
You should have let it burn.
No play is bad enough to be burned.
Fanny, that was very foolish of you. It's quite a good first play,
oh,
dear.
Stop it! If you didn't like it, say so. You needn't apologize.
ideas.
Fanny Kemble, the playwright, is dead. I'll give her that. An honorable grave. There among our tombs ancestral shall she rest. Without an epitaph. Except my tears.
Wait. Stand where you are. Marie, look at her. Do you see what I see? Of whom does she remind you? Look, Marie, look. The image of Sarah. Sarah Sidney.
Heaven preserve.
I have it. I have it. Covent Garden will be saved. And Fanny Kemble, you shall be the new great Kemble star.
Fanny, an actress?
Why not?
I can't act.
Nonsense. A bad Kemble is better than a good actress. And a new Kemble star is the one thing that will attract new investors to Covent Garden.
But I don't want to act. Oh,
ridiculous. Who ever heard of a Kemble not wanting to act?
Charles, be sensible. Fanny is not an actress.
Oh, but we shall make her believe she is. You tell them she's an untutored genius. Greater than our aunt, Sarah Siddons. We'll placard the whole of London. They'll believe she's a great actress before they even see her.
But I'm not even pretty.
Pretty.
Well, it's quite true. And her posture is frightful.
I shall teach her to walk like a goddess.
She has no feeling for the theatre.
She will be made to love it, Marie. You and I will tutor her and train her until she's perfect. We'll begin in the morning. Let's see, Tuesday. 3 weeks from tomorrow, she will appear as Juliet.
Juliet? Charles, you're mad.
I won't endure it. I won't be a trained animal in a circus. I can't act. I won't act. I hate acting. I want to be a writer.
Fanny, my child, you said yourself you wanted to help.
But, Father, I wrote the play. I did my best.
But if you make a place for yourself as an actress, anyone will produce your play. That place belongs to you as a Kemble, as a niece of Sarah Siddons, of the glorious John, as my daughter.
Oh, very well, Father.
Oh, that's a good girl. Now, hurry off to bed so you'll be fresh in the morning.
Very well, Father.
Good night, my dear. Look at her, Marie, standing there on the stairs. Gaze upon her. She's the new Juliet. But, soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun. And kill the envious moon.
Who is already sick and pale with grief.
And now, Fanny, repeat the lines simply and clearly. Let your voice be resonant and from the stomach. Open your mouth and let the sound ring out. We'll take this exercise. Repeat after me. In tempo now. Ready? Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounce it to you. Trippingly on the tongue. But if you mouth it as many of your players do, I had as lief the town crier spoke my lines. Now try it.
But, Father, why must I read Hamlet to play Juliet?
Diction, child, diction, go on.
Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you, trippingly.
Oh, my Lord, what are you laughing at?
Trippingly, Father, I can't help it. It's a funny word.
Stop laughing. Trippingly. Trippingly, trippingly. What's the double P, the ing? Trippingly. All right, start again. I'll make you an actress if it kills me.
You mean, Father, if it kills me?
If it kills both of us. Start all over again.
Trippingly, do you mean?
Start again, I said. Who opened that door? Get out.
Pardon me, monsieur. Your daughter. I have decided I can do nothing with her. Please accept my resignation.
What kind of dancing masters do they breed in Paris?
Oh, dancing is excellent, monsieur. But with her posture, I can do nothing. Monsieur, she walks like a horse.
My daughter walks like a horse.
Pardon, monsieur. Merely a way of speaking.
Fanny, walk across the room. Oh, posture. Walk as Juliet. You must be Juliet.
You see, Father? No use. I do walk like a horse.
May I suggest a brace?
What the?
A thing of steel. essentially a thing of steel, like a harness.
Am I to be dressed like a horse?
Oh, mademoiselle.
Be quiet, Fanny. You're sure, monsieur, that such a brace will correct the posture?
I won't wear it.
Will you be quiet?
Monsieur, I assure you it will work. Mademoiselle will be most comfortable. It is essentially a thing of steel.
I'll stoop and slouch and poke and stand with one hip up and one shoulder down, but I won't wear your thing of steel.
Oh, yes, you will. Try it on, monsieur.
Very well. This steel rod or spine, as they call it, has a steel collar. As you see, it goes around mademoiselle's neck.
Father, I don't trust this man.
Oh, I will not choke, mademoiselle.
That is not what I meant.
Thank you. Maintenant, this piece of steel is tucked around your waist. Pardonnez-moi, with this belt.
Thank you.
Then take yours at the top, back to epaulette, like a general.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, please. And now, the whole thing is fast from behind.
I used to sit here and read Shakespeare all to myself. It made some sense to me then. I loved poor Juliet then. But I don't know her anymore. She's like a painted doll. Oh, Juliet, Juliet. Come, gentle night. Come, loving, black-browed knight, give me my Romeo. And when he shall die, take him and cut him out in little stars and he will make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with night.
Wonderful, my dear, wonderful. I sat by that window listening.
You were listening, Father?
What happened to you, Fanny?
I don't know, Father. For a moment, I lost all my fears. I was myself again, just Fanny.
Child, you were Juliet. Go to bed now. Tomorrow night, all London will know you as Juliet.
Absent from Covent Garden Theatre for 15 years will play Lady Capulet. Charles Kemble as Mercutio, Mrs. Davenport the nurse, Mr. Abbott as Romeo, and for the first time on any stage, introducing to Covent Garden Theatre, Miss Annie Kemble.
Curtain, ladies and gentlemen, please, curtain.
Kemble, call for the stage, ma'am.
Oh, Aunt Dow, I can't go on. I can't.
Come with me, dear. Steady. Hold my arm. That's the way. There's nothing to fear. Your own mother is playing Lady Capulet. Your father will be on the stage as Mercutio. I'm sure you'll be great. All the Kembles feel this way before an entrance.
What is that simple scale?
Ready, Miss Kemble?
She's ready.
Places, please, for scene three.
Is my gown all right? My hair? My rouge.
Yes, yes. Steady, child. My courage.
It is whirling. I feel weak, Aunt Dow.
You will feel quite all right when you get on the stage.
Yes, where's my daughter? Call her forth. Now, by my maiden, who is 12 years old, I beg her come. What land? What lady bird? God forbid, where's this girl? What, Juliet?
Annie, Danny, my God, she's fainted.
Nurse, where's my daughter, Juliet? Juliet!
Danny!
Oh, my you. My
go on, go on, dear. I'll push you on.
Speak to line, child. Madam, I'm here. What is your will?
Madam, I'm here. What is your will? My only love sprung from my only hate, too early seen unknown, and known too late.
Louder!
Prodigious birth of love it is to me. Love it is to me. That I must love a loathed and
louder.
What's happened to the girl?
Stand by for first act curtain.
Even now, when I dance.
Untrained genius.
Trained is right.
They're certainly all a mad Campbell. What are they trying to put over now?
She's unbelievably bad.
Oh, she's not even pretty.
That's true.
Oh, Father. Come along, Dal. Mind what I said, Charles.
How are you, Fanny?
Father, I can't. I told you, I can't act.
Come along, Dal. Now, remember, Charles.
Yes, yes, of course, my dear, of course.
Did you hear them, Father? They were laughing at me.
Oh, that's nothing, nothing at all. My dear, you should have heard them the night of my first appearance. They hooted me off the stage.
Father, don't. All the stories you told them about me, they're lies. our lives.
Oh, never mind about that now. I've hurt you, child, haven't I? You know, if I could, Fanny, if it didn't make you happy, I'd ring the curtain down now and cancel the performance.
But you can't, Father. You know that.
What is it? What is it that worries you? Tell me.
Oh, I don't know. The stage.
Yes, child.
When I walk across the stage, I see no real people. Only puppets. The lines I speak mean nothing to me. I can think of nothing but cross stage right, cross stage left, raise right arm, raise left arm, bow, turn, face the audience.
Oh, is that what I thought you? What a fool I've been. Now listen, Colonel. Forget the crossings and the posing. Forget everything I've said. Just remember last night in the garden.
Was it just last night?
When you go out on that stage, think of Juliet as you thought of her then, as a young girl, as yourself.
Like myself? Oh.
Miss Kemble called for the stage, ma'am.
Thou knowest the mask of night is on my face, else would a maiden blush bepaint my cheek for that which thou hast heard me speak tonight. Fain would I dwell on
coming to life.
Maybe she can
what
act.
The performance couldn't be
wonderful.
Well, at least she could be heard.
Yeah, let's see what she does in the potions.
No.
I have a faint, cold fear thrills through my veins that almost freezes up the heat of life. I'll call them back again to comfort me. No!
Fanny, my love, my darling, you were wonderful. Let me kiss you.
Let me help you off of your costume, dear. Leave her alone. You'll crush her costume, child.
Was I really good, Father?
Yes.
Listen to them, my dear. That's a reception for a great actress. You were magnificent, my dear, magnificent.
Do you think my play will be produced now, Father?
Oh, the play, yes, I remember. Quite a play. The plot. Yeah, it's a plot. The play with two plots.
Oh, never mind, Father.
No, never mind. I mean, yes, of course, it'll be produced. Now, let's see. Maybe we're on tour in Scotland. No, Marie, what do you think of Ireland?
Yes.
No, I have it. America's the place to produce your play. We'll do it a million times there.
No, just once, Father. Just once.
How I became an actress, Henry James, doomed from my girlhood to be called a second Sarah Siddons. For 50 years I have struggled to be known as the first Fanny Kemble, a writer, of course. And now you want to dig up the painted ghost of my past and to immortalize me as a great actress. Please, please, Henry, let me be a writer. Yours, Fanny.
The Columbia Workshop has brought you an original radio play dramatizing an event from the life of Fanny Kemble with Elsa Lanchester in the role of Fanny. The presentation was written by Joseph Liss and Louis Lance. The orchestra was conducted by Howard Barlow, and the entire production was directed by Brewster Morgan. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.